Greetings in the Lord. It is the third day of December in the year of our Lord 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Dear brothers, we looked at this verse yesterday, but I wanted to return and I wanted to look at one particular part. I wanted you to see that this Gospel of Luke is addressed to someone named Most Excellent Theophilus. Now, there are many different speculations about who this may have been. Some may have said a religious leader. Some could have said this was a title that was given kind of all believers, though it is a singular word noun, and there's not a plural you here when it says you may know the exact truth. So that kind of rules out a plural view of this, but some have said that. It seems as if the most fitting explanation is that most excellent is a title that was often given to Roman civil magistrates. And we see here in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts that these books were written to someone called Most Excellent, a title for a civil magistrate, Theophilus. Now, there have been civil magistrates that were named Theophilus in the time of the centuries following the book of Luke. And so it does make sense that this would be that title. Furthermore, one of the things that we do know that happened often in the early church were that the apologists wrote books to the civil magistrates because they were being persecuted and they were being maligned in front of the civil magistrates. The first apologists wrote their books and addressed them to those who were leaders. We also see something in the book of Luke, and in particular in the book of Acts, that would lead us to think this may be a civil magistrate. There's much discussion of civil magistrates, and in particular in the book of Acts, you have Herod, who receives worship and then dies quickly. And you see the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter addressing different civil leaders. The reason I point this out is because the Christian faith is a faith for all of life. It is a faith that's not just about us in our holy huddles, but it is a faith that impacts all of life. Jesus Christ is King, and that means he is King over the church, in particular, especially over the church, as everything he does is to protect her, to guide her, to wash her in the Word, and to make her holy. But he's also King over all of creation, and he orchestrates all things for the good of his church. Therefore, the gospel is a gospel, the message that goes out to all kinds of people, whether the lowly, the servant, the slave, the employer, slave master, wives, children, fathers, civil magistrates, all are called to obedience to Jesus Christ. This time of year, as we think about as Jesus Christ was incarnate, took on flesh, he came in a manger and was worshipped by the Gentiles. Oftentimes we sing, "We Three Kings." Now, there's not much testimony to them being kings, but the fact that the Magi came, and this was often reflected upon in the prophecies of the Old Testament of the nations coming to worship Jesus and of even kings coming to worship him. And so it makes sense that Luke, the physician, would want to write an excellent account, a very careful account of the most excellent Theophilus. Now, how do we apply that here as we begin our time of worship? Well, we ought to be reminded that our faith is a faith for all of life. There's not a place in our life, not one part, that Christ does not say, "This is mine." There's not a stray molecule in the universe that does not belong to Jesus. And therefore, all of our thoughts, our words, our deeds, whether in secret or in public, are under His authority and under His control and under His responsibility. That is, we will be responsible before Jesus Christ for all that we do. There's not one place where we can count it off from Jesus. Therefore, as we come to worship Him, we ought to be minded of how much we sin. We sin in public, we sin in secret, we sin in thought and word and deed, and we think we can get by with it. We think that He's not there. We think that there are portions and places in our lives where we do not have to give an account to Christ Jesus. Dear brothers, we know the truth. We must give an account to Him. Now the good news that He has infinite mercy and goodness, and the fact that He came in the flesh was marveled at by the Magi, grew in stature, that He was challenged by Satan and tempted and overcame that temptation, that He spoke truth even to those in authority. All of that, most importantly, Him going to the cross, was for the forgiveness of our sins. So as we come before His throne today to receive instruction and lift up our petitions, let us first bow our knees and plead for the mercy of God. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into Your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from You if You dealt with us as we deserve. We've sinned against You, O Lord, and we've offended You. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge You to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to You. And so we humbly ask You, for the sake of Christ Your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By Your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of Your mouth and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by You. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with You and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open Thou our lips, and our mouth will show forth Thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and Your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what You say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 138. This is the Word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A Psalm of David. I will give thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to You before the gods. I will bow down towards Your holy temple and give thanks to Your name for Your loving kindness and Your truth. For You have magnified Your word according to all Your name. On the day I called You, You answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to You, O Lord, when they have heard the words of Your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet He regards the lowly. But the haughty He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch forth Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of Your hands. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Our King and Savior draweth nigh. O come, let us adore Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen and hallelujah. Brothers, be mindful that Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It's these that testify about me." Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and we are still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their clothes, on the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed." All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorably to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I shall speak." When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' The Lord said to him, 'How?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' Then he said, 'You are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you.' Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?' Micaiah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself.' Then the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, Put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.' Micaiah said, 'If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Listen, all you people.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, 'Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone.' So when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, 'Surely it is the king of Israel.' and they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. When the captains of the chariot saw that was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded." The battle raged that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening. And the blood from the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then a cry passed throughout the army close to sunset, saying, "Every man to his city and every man to his country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. They washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Now the harlots bathed themselves there, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab, and all that he did, and the ivory house which he built, and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son became king in his place. Now Jehoshaphat the son of Asa became king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shili. He walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might which he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? The remnants of the Sodomites who remained in the days of his father Asa, he expelled from the land. Now there was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but he did not go, for the ships were broken at Ezon Geber. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat was not willing, and Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David, and Jehoram his son became king in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and the way of his mother, and the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. O God, make speed to save us. Brothers, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 days. Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 41. Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out from it. For a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. When he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And while John was completing his course, he kept saying, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. But behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie.' Brethren, son of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he might be executed. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled his promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Therefore he also says in another psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is also proclaimed to you. And through him everyone who believes is freed from all things, from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Therefore take heed, so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, Jesus said, "I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict." Listen to this wisdom from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of strong men perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let's pray. O God, all-sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things by the word of thy power. Darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever. God over all, blessed eternally. Infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul in life and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times and forget not thou how hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May the Holy Scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Now, brothers, glory to God, whose power, working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.